You're listening to Careers and Cocktails, Career Talk with a Twist, hosted by expert recruiter Renee Fry. Let's get this party started.
Hey, party people, welcome back to Careers and Cocktails. Today, we're going to be zooming in with Esther, who's over in the Netherlands, but first, let me show you how to make an extremely fast margarita. And I got the recipe right on this bottle of this Tres Agaves. I bought it because I wanted to make some margaritas and we were out of agave nectar. And lo and behold, on the back, there's a recipe for the Tres Margarita. It's 2 ounces of Tres Agave tequila, which I'm going to use Casamigos, 1 ounce Tres Agaves organic nectar, and then 1 ounce fresh lime juice. So you know me, I'm all about the menage a trois of cocktails, the three ingredient cocktail, and this is what you have right here. And it's delicious. So we're going to take a piece of lime and just get the top of the glass wet so we can salt the rim. And then I'm gonna put in some ice into my cup because I like my margaritas on the rocks. And then what I'm gonna do is use this handy dandy shaker that we have. That's how I juiced my limes. This thing is so cool. It even comes with a measuring cup on top, so super easy to use. I'm gonna put my ice in there. And then we're gonna do I'll put the lime juice in first since I already have it measured out. So super simple, 1 ounce of fresh squeezed lime, 2 ounces of tequila, and I am using the Blanco Casamigos, and then 1 ounce of the Tres Agaves agave nectar, which I actually got at Target, so that's super easy. Throw it in. Shake it up. This is the tricky part though. I usually need help with getting this thing off. There we go. And then I will quickly take this off to pour it out. I don't know if I've done this before with this. Perfect. And this is a Tavolo juicer that has the measuring cup and all of that. And then I'll just garnish with a lime. Cheers. Welcome back to Careers and Cocktails. Today, I'm thrilled to have Esther Kokemans over across in Europe, in the Netherlands, joining us today. And I'm so thrilled to have you. Tell us about yourself, Esther.
Thank you so much for having me, Renee. I'm very honored to be here with you on the other side of the world. My name is Esther Kokemans. I got connected with you through Tesla, as you can see here.
Yeah, Tesla!
I'm very excited to be able to join you today during this live interview.
Yeah. And I want to tell about how we met. So Esther and I are part of this Facebook group, Tesla Divas, and because we both own Teslas, and I was traveling to Europe with my daughters and my husband, and I had posted something in there about where we were going. And Esther reached out and said, "We are having a meetup. Would you like to come? We'd love to have you and your girls. We're going to a castle for high tea." And I was like, oh my gosh, we got to make this happen. So then we were able to meet in person, which was so fun, all because of this Facebook group. Like, amazing.
I know. I was very excited that you were willing to, get some time out of your traveling schedule, of course, to meet with us. And I'm guessing you don't have any regrets because it was an awesome day at the castle.
It was awesome.
And of course, all Tesla divas were very, very welcome. They always are. But you from, in the States, traveling and joining us was extra special.
Yeah. But then you even took it one step further. You arranged for people to pick us up and drop us off from where we were staying, which was about an hour away from the castle. So I'm forever grateful, Esther.
Oh, more than welcome. I hope I can join you there at a meeting one day. I will.
Definitely. So tell me about, why did you purchase your Tesla? I'm curious.
Well, I live in Belgium, but I am Dutch. My background is Dutch. I used to always live in the Netherlands, but after living abroad for so many years, and one of the countries that I used to live in different locations was, of course, the US. You can maybe tell by when you listen to me. So moving back to Europe and moving back to the Netherlands was kind of challenging. It was kind of difficult to refine our ways there. And so we decided to live in Belgium. But I'm originally from the Netherlands. And so so the question was, why did you buy your Tesla? Well, in the Netherlands, when you look at the amount of owners that drive Tesla, it's incredibly high. If you compare it to, for example, Norway, which is one of the has one of the highest rates of owners of Teslas in the world, we're right below that country compared to the US as well. And so most of the Tesla drivers in the Netherlands are leasing their Tesla. So they're not official owners. Yeah, they're not official owners. They drive it for a certain amount of years because of their company. And then they trade it in most of the times, of course, for another Tesla because they start liking and loving it. But when you look at myself, I was one of the people who really wanted to drive one and get to know Tesla, not just the car, but also the whole Tesla company and everything that is involved, which is a big thing from my perspective. And so given the fact that we do not own a company that allows us to lease, we decided to buy privately. And so 2 years ago was the time where the used Teslas in the Netherlands started to go on the market. And so we started looking and we found one that we really liked that was also in our price range. And so we decided to take the step and buy that one. We never regretted it by a second. We love the car.
Yeah, same. And which model do you have, Esther?
I have a 2014 Model S.
Same. Well, I have a 2017 Model S.
Yeah, I know.
What color is yours? Right? Black, yeah.
White.
Awesome. So what can we celebrate for you this week?
Well, I actually have something, as you know, I'm very active. After I've been now driving it for 2 years almost, I've been really looking into what does it mean? You know, it's not only a wonderful car. For me, it's for now, it's a wonderful combination between a beauty, power, and innovation. So I've been very active in that world in many ways, as you noticed. But yesterday was a very, very special day because I decided with some other people to start creating a new platform that we can use both in the Netherlands and Belgium, but also internationally. And we kind of launched the 1.0 version yesterday. So that version is now online. We're still working really hard to get it completely operating. And we challenged ourselves. We always do that. We challenge ourselves and each other to get it up and running completely on the 27th of July, which will be possible. We're going to make it, I think. But for now, we have a 1.0 version. The name of the website that is included in the platform is teslacampus.nl. And whoever enters the website can read both in Dutch, of course, but also in English. So we try to aim at both the Dutch-Belgian audience, but also internationally, because that is my focus. I really want to focus on an international group of people. And we're very excited about this new platform. So that is something really to celebrate.
Awesome. Cheers.
Cheers.
And then you have to tell me what you're drinking, Esther.
Well, I'm drinking one of my favorites. It's a gin and tonic. I'm really looking into the gin and tonics nowadays. And the gin that I added to the tonic in my cocktail today is called Bobby's. It's an original Dutch gin. The Dutch, I'm not sure if you looked into it, but the Dutch, the Netherlands is very well known for the gin. In Dutch, we call it Genever. We still have Genever and gin, and they are looked upon as if they were two different liquors, but they are not. They're actually the same. They just have different names. Gin is more popular right now. Everybody knows gin, right? And so yeah. The one that I have here is an originally Dutch gin called Bobby's, and it is a gin that already started long time ago. Many years ago. I think about two centuries ago, I'm guessing.
Wow.
Long time ago. They started creating it. That was an old guy who also was very much influenced by Indonesia. The Netherlands has a connection with Indonesia. And so all the spicy herbs that Indonesia still has to offer today were included in a gin that was made long time ago. And so two family members of that same person, they wanted to do something new with it now. And so they created this new gin with the same recipe as long time ago, with a lot of herbs and spices from Indonesia. So it's a very spicy gin. It's not sweet, it's very spicy. And it would be nice. I'm drinking it now with my tonic that I always use. Elderflower tonic. I really like that one. I also added some juniper berries because if you combine this gin tonic with some like cloves or cardamom even or juniper berries, it really adds to the flavor of the gin.
Oh, I bet. And I love elderflower. Oh, so good. I love the flavor. Yeah. So tell me about your new launch of the 1.0 Tesla campus. What is that? Is it a repository? What's your purpose of that?
Well, the aim for us is to reach as many people as we can that are Tesla owners or drivers. As I said, not all people that drive Tesla here are owners. We want to reach as many people as we can, but we also definitely want to include people who are interested in the brand, who are interested in new energy. And we also definitely want to include science, for example. So I have in those 2 years, I've been able to connect with many people also doing a lot of scientific research on renewable energies, energy transition, batteries, and these kind of subjects that are really, really much more looked into now than a couple of years ago, worldwide, actually. But when you look at the Netherlands, there are, although it is a small country, there are many research groups, even in Eindhoven, close to where I live, that do a lot of research on these subjects. And so we feel like the more we can spread what these forms of energy can do for us now, but also in the future, and the more we can connect that to what Tesla is doing, and from my perspective now, they're doing awesome work. Mm-hmm. The more we can do that, the better it is, I think. And so the aim is to reach as many people as possible, to also include them. So whoever has something to say or to share that could add to the other people that are looking, is very welcome to join.
Awesome. I love it. Well, kudos to you.
Thank you.
So what did you want to be when you grew up, Esther?
Well, I was thinking about that question, and it's very interesting because it kind of kept me thinking, you know, why did I want to become that? And what am I now? Well, there are three professions that I really wanted to become as a girl, and they might not be the standard girly professions that most of them wanted to be. I definitely wanted to be a pilot. And I also definitely wanted to be an astronaut. I really wanted to explore space in a vehicle that would bring me there. And the third thing that I really also wanted to become was a surgeon.
Awesome. Awesome. Huge ambitions there.
Yeah, I know.
So pretend I'm a kindergartner, so I'm about 5 years old. Explain to me what you do for a living now, Esther.
Well, I'm not flying. I'm not going into space, although I do follow SpaceX closely. But what I do now is, considering you're a five-year-old I'm talking to now, what I do is whenever a woman is carrying a baby inside of her belly, and the baby, of course, when the baby is big enough, has to come out, this woman and also her husband, they usually need a person by their side who takes care of them wherever it is needed. So sometimes she wants to drink, sometimes she needs some help going to the toilet, but sometimes if she's in the hospital to birth this baby, she also needs somebody to take care of her by talking to other people that want to work with her. And so depending on the situation I am in with this mother who is carrying the baby that is coming out, I'm adjusting myself to their needs, to whatever it is that she and the papa needs.
Awesome. And I know very little about this profession. So tell me more, like how do you get paired up with the mother that's going to deliver a baby? How does that all transpire?
Well, it's a very interesting process, and it's a dangerous question because I could talk about it for hours, but I'll you know, be careful. In a nutshell, I started doing this work 15 years ago. I used to work and live in the U.S., as I said before. I used to work as a pediatric nurse in Colorado, and while I was doing that, I connected with the phenomena doula. That's what I am. My profession is a doula, a birth doula in my situation. And I connected there, but I didn't feel like I wanted to do it or whatever. So I just knew what it was. Then when I moved back to, well, first I moved back to Paris, and then I moved back to the Netherlands to give birth to my oldest son, who's 16 now. After giving birth to my oldest son, I decided that I wanted to become a doula in the Netherlands because I felt like there were many women who needed the support. And so I started connecting with a doula who was training doulas from the US worldwide. She works for Dona and International. It's a very well-known big company in the US that works with almost all doulas that work there. And they also have international trainers. And so I got her to the Netherlands. She trained me and she trained many others. I worked with her for a couple of years to train. And so after a while, I started training myself. And now my main focus right now is not on training, but is working with clients. And I have to say that given the fact that I'm the longest working doula in my country.
Really?
Yeah,
cheers to that, Esther.
Thank you. Cheers. I don't drink when I work, by the way.
I would hope not.
Although I might need it sometimes if it's a long birth. After training for a while and also attending births with couples that wanted to connect with me, I now completely focus on being there for my couples. And what I've seen is that, of course, you meet many, many different peoples with many different needs. And so the question that they have is, can you do this for us? And the question I always have to ask myself is, can I do that for them? And I have to say that, Renee, so far, there was not one couple that I couldn't connect with in such a way that I couldn't help them. So far, so good. I also have to say that people know that I'm the longest working doula, so I do have a lot of experience that comes with that. And so if there's a situation where a couple, for example, has very high demands and the newer doulas find it difficult to find that connection, they usually connect the couple with me. And I think also because of the experience, it is easier for me to connect also because I know about all the rules. I know about the law. I know what their rights are so very well. It's my specialty and my profession. You know, I did definitely want to specialize in the rights of the birthing woman and her husband. And so that's what I did. And so whenever there's an issue with rights and them being violated, people usually come to me and I give them the information. And after giving them the information, they usually decide they want to keep working with me because of the fact that I understand the system so well.
Sure, sure. Well, congrats on having a long career.
Thank you.
Tell me, so you build this relationship with the mother and this couple, when they give birth to the baby, is that where your relationship ends or does it continue a little bit?
That's a very good question, actually, because there's a very different approach when you look at the doula world. So I usually connect with them preferably a couple of months before the birth, but I've also had a very young girl. She was 15 and she, of course, was unexpectedly pregnant. She had nobody to support her. And so the center that was taking care of her connected with me. And within 1 week, she gave birth to her beautiful son. Wow. So this can happen, but it's rare. It's rare. And I'm very grateful that these kind of centers, they do connect with me so that she's not alone when this child comes into the world of the child, right, in a way. Remind me of your question.
When does your relationship end with the people you're
supporting? So I usually try to connect with them a couple of months before, but it also depends on the couple. Then I do attend the birth all the time. So if you look at research that has been done about the doula and the effect of the doula, you see that the best outcome that you can get if she is there with the couple all the time. She should not leave their side at 1 second if possible, unless she, of course, has to go to the toilet, which sometimes also doesn't happen. It's not possible sometimes. But so you are there for them. If they want to give birth at home, if you look at the Netherlands, they have the highest home birth rate in the West. And so it's going down, actually, but there's still a high level of home births compared to, for example, the US, which is less than 4%. In the US, it's rising, by the way. The home births in the US are, the numbers are rising rapidly. It's actually going really fast. But in the Netherlands, it's going down, but it's still very high. And so I attend the birth both at home as well as in the hospital, as well as C-sections. If the baby is born, I stay with them for a couple of hours, also depending on if she wants to breastfeed or not. If she has been traumatized before or not. Of course, I only leave their side when I know that they are calm and safe, no matter where they are. And sometimes it takes a long time before I go. And sometimes 1 or 2 hours is enough. And then after the birth, I always offer them one more meeting. And most of the couples, they do want to see me once more because they want to kind of close the pregnancy and birth story and continue with their lives as father and mother of a child that is outside of the womb, of course. But what I also offer my couples, and some of them use it a lot and some of them don't, is they can still connect with me after the birth 24/7 via phone or WhatsApp. And so whenever there's a question or a concern, especially during the night, is what I see, they connect with me. And given the fact that I'm also, my background is in pediatric nursing, of course, it's not what I'm supposed to do as a doula, but I do sometimes give them advice on what they should do with their child when it comes to certain aspects that they have questions about.
Right. Oh, I love it. So you get to witness hundreds and thousands of babies being brought into this world. What a rewarding job.
It is. It truly is. It truly is. And it blows my mind every single time.
Really? Wow.
It does. It does. Yeah.
That's just so cool.
It is. It
I'll
is.
Never
one of the pros of being there all the time is that you get to see every single detail, and especially with couples that have been traumatized before, which unfortunately also in the US still happens a lot. When you see them become stronger instead of weaker when they are birthing their child, that is the most rewarding part of my job.
Oh, I love that. Just makes my heart sing. So what if you, if someone wants to work with you, Esther, but you don't feel a connection, which I don't know if that would happen because you are so welcoming, so warm, just you have such a great positive spirit and you're so, like, I can tell you're not judgmental and you're so welcoming. Is there ever been a disconnect where you're like, oh, I'm not the best fit for you? Do you have to make those decisions?
That's such a good question, Renee, to ask. And I have to say that the question is, if there is a disconnect, where does that come from, right? Yeah. Could it be from their side? Could it be from my side? Could it be a combination of both? And so the question I always ask myself is exactly this question. Where does it come from? And how can I work with my couple in such a way that if there is a disconnect, that we get rid of it? To give you an example, I had one lady who was from America. I have a lot of expats that I help, also because of my language and my experiences also in healthcare in the US. So they do find me all the time. And she, from who she was and what she experienced in life is what I'm guessing, because I never asked. She told me that, but this was very strong, this was very severe from my point of view. She said to me that she didn't want to breastfeed her child because she felt like it was abuse of the child. And so there you go, as a doula, she's telling you that I'm still breastfeeding my baby, who's not there, of course, but you know, that is where I come from during that phase in my life. And she said that she felt very strongly against it because of the fact that she felt like it was going, if you did that, you were going across borders that you should never cross. And so that was very, 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 very challenging for myself, also because I found it to be very extreme. But also I was still breastfeeding my own child who was 2 years old at the time. And so, ooh, what was I doing? But I did try to look into it before I connected with her again. And I did talk to a lot of colleagues and asked for advice. What should I do? Because I definitely feel like also only because of the remarks she just made, she might need my help very strongly. And so I tried to look into it in such a way that I could find a distance from it, from my personal point of view, my personal life, which was very challenging in this case, of course. And then I went back to her and then I said, look, I want to help you further. And I try to understand you. It is possible that I do not understand everything that you are going to say, but I want you to know that whenever I feel strongly against something that you are saying towards me, I'm going to be very honest and open about it. And after saying that, she said, well, I want to share something with you. And there came her story. And her story was extremely touching. It was very, very traumatic. And very touching. And she opened up in such a way that the whole thing, the whole issue that we just talked about was completely gone. It was no longer an issue.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I always challenge myself in such a way to actually feel, if I feel something, I want to feel it and I want to go through it and I want to decide for myself, as you asked in your question, is this doable for me or not? If you then connect with colleagues, if you think further and if you are able to decide for yourself, I'm strong enough to keep my personal views outside of this story. And therefore, through that, open up to what she has to say to me that she never said to anybody before, then that is really something that is also extremely rewarding. And I've had many, many of these, not similar, you know, every woman and every man also they have their own stories, but they do. I always challenge myself to be the person that they feel safe with and that they can open up to.
That's remarkable, Esther. How amazing. So where did you learn this trait along the way?
As I said, I got trained by a wonderful birth doula. Deborah Pascali is her name. She's really well known in the doula world. I got trained by her, but also just by doing it, by learning from every birth, from every couple, and also by allowing yourself to learn in such a way that you can give the people exactly what they need. And sometimes they share with you what it is that they need, and sometimes they do not. So it is not something that you can learn from a book. I do read a lot of books actually about birth. You have to keep teaching yourself and teaching each other also as colleagues, because it's, as you maybe know, it's an ever-changing subject, giving birth, and everything that has to do with it. But you just have to start doing it and growing as a person, growing as a doula, and learning how can I open up for these people? And that's exactly what I try to do every single time.
Right. Because that's, to me, what you were just explaining is all about mindset and shifting your beliefs to support them, yet get them to open up to you. It's incredible.
Right. Because with the breastfeeding subject that I just mentioned with my client, it had nothing to do with me. Nothing.
Right.
0%. Nothing. Yeah. And so if you can filter that, if you are able to do that, although this was very challenging, I told you, but if you are able to do that, you also learn a lot of it yourself. And by doing it, by just doing that, because I think a lot of people judged her beforehand about anything she might have said, not just this subject. She got looked at in a way that maybe because of what she had in the experience, she wanted people to look at her that way because it kept a distance. And then I was the person who gave her the space to be herself, which is really amazing.
Yeah, it is. Cheers to you, Esther.
Cheers, Renee. What is it that you're drinking?
Oh, I'm drinking a margarita.
Oh my God.
Super simple. 2 ounces of Casamigos Blanco tequila, 1 ounce agave nectar, and 1 ounce fresh squeezed lime.
Oh my God, I'm so jealous.
Super easy. So you have to experience stressful situations. I remember giving birth to my 2 daughters, and especially the first time, stressful. How do you stay calm?
Yeah, well, that is a good question. During a birth, is that your specific question or in general?
Or like in general. Like, because you have to be put in, you know, right. And you have to be there when maybe the female has to be making a decision, right? Like,
right.
Emergency C-section, or do you want anesthesia or, you know, pain control?
Exactly. Yeah. And so the getting to know the couple beforehand is very important in this question as well, because I don't know exactly. I really have to say, Renee, I don't know exactly how I do it, but my couples, one of the main things that I hear back from my couples is that they choose to work with me because I am so calm. They already see that when we meet, and they need that in a lot of situations. They need that during the birth. And as you just said, you know, there are so many situations where the people that are surrounding them themselves, these people are not even staying calm. And so they need this person to be by their side, trying to stay calm, although I'm not always calm if needed. I'm there for them with all my voice. And it's a very loud voice, I promise you. But if it is not needed, I'm the calm person who's surrounding them, who knows them, who knows what their do's and don'ts are in a specific situation, and who is there to protect them if needed, especially in a hospital setting, of course. Given the fact that the husband also knows that I'm there, knows that I know what he needs from me to be the husband that he wants to be when his child is coming, they usually do a lot of the things themselves. They keep each other come. And so whenever a caregiver comes in, for example, and is very stressed for whatever reason, my intuition taught me in the last 15 years, taught me how to deal with that in such a way that my couple thinks I am still very calm, but I'm very determined. And I always explain this to them before we go into the birthing situation. So I explain my couple, even though I might seem very calm, I know exactly what I want from this caregiver at this point. And so I also tell them, for example, whenever I ask any questions to the caregiver, know that I already know the answers to those questions. But a bell should start ringing in your head, especially the husband, of course, should start ringing whenever I ask a question that there's a reason why I am asking that question. And if I work very closely with my couple and they know who I am and vice versa, the husband usually then takes over. So I do not longer have to do it. They know that they can do it and that I am supporting them in my comms, but also in my knowledge. And the fact that they have this person there with them who does that and who stays calm is so reassuring and gives them so much strength and good intention that they do it instead of me. And that is what I aim for. They have to do it. It is their birth. It's not my birth.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So where do you get your inspiration from, Esther? Like, do you listen to podcasts or do you have a favorite book? Like, how do you stay continuously inspired?
Well, as you know me, Renee, I'm very active on social media. And so I do try to connect with many colleagues all over the world through social media. They also have, especially now in Corona time, they have a lot of online meetings that I definitely try to attend. We teach each other a lot during those online meetings. And that is very inspiring. Getting together with my colleagues is extremely inspiring. Getting together with women in general, for me, is extremely inspiring. And that can also be online. And so you know that I created Tesla Divas Europe. So the Tesla Divas version, this one. Yeah. But then in Europe, and I have to say that it started with like 20 women or something, and now we're 450. And so it's growing really rapidly. And the fact that even though we are all living all over the globe, all doing our own things, but the fact that we can connect via that Facebook page, but also they do send me a lot of private messages as well, is very, very motivating, I have to say. So in general, I do get a lot of inspiration, I have to say, by connecting with other women that can be both in Tesla subjects, as you know, but it can also be in my work field.
Sure. I love it. I love it. And where can people find you, Esther?
Where, as in online?
Yeah.
Well, they if there are women driving Teslas living in Europe or interested in Europe, you don't have to live in Europe. You can find me on Tesla Divas Europe Facebook page. I actually connected with one of the Tesla Divas in the US, of which you are one, of course. Jennifer Street is her name, and she's really well known for her artwork and the way she designs drawings and other things. And I was actually able to connect with her in such a way that herself and her company are actually now designing the first Tesla Divas Europe logo.
Awesome!
Yeah, that is going to be used at our third Tesla Divas Europe meeting. That is going to take place in September in a beautiful castle in Germany. So I'm very excited. And I found a sponsor to pay for what she is doing. She's doing an awesome job. And so this Tesla Diva from the US is now creating the Tesla Divas Europe logo for the European Divas. Isn't that
awesome.
Cool?
Congrats to that. Way to
yes,
go.
And to Jennifer.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. We do have an international reach. If you've liked this video, please drop us a review where you listen to your podcast. like, and click and subscribe so you don't miss an update. Until next time, cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We are thrilled to have made a worldwide impact with listeners in 9 different countries. If you've enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to subscribe to Careers and Cocktails on YouTube and drop us a review on your favorite podcast app. If you're looking to update your resume or you're stuck in your career, I'm designated by LinkedIn as the top resume writer and career coach expert. I even created a resume and e-learning course to help you if you want to do your own resume. It's super simple and extremely affordable. Go to careersandcocktails.com to learn more. I also wrote a book called I Hate Mondays for all of you job seekers who hate your jobs and want to love your Mondays. You can go there for the same information. And of course, I'm up to so much valuable information sharing that for you hiring leaders, if you want to find the secrets to finding the best talent, I have a hiring guide at careersandcocktails.com as well. I am here to share information and help people love what they do. Until next time, cheers.